Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 19, Text 4. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born who, upon being requested, has refused charity to brahmanas in holy places, or a fight to Kshatriyas on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Maharaj Prahlad, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The symptoms of our Kshatriya are given in the Bhagavad Gita. One of the qualifications is the willingness to give charity, dan. A Kshatriya does not refuse to give charity when requested by a brahmana. Takalpatruvayascha kripa sindubhaya vachapatitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Please forgive me if I have committed any offenses to any of the devotees. Now let us continue. So we're reading about the qualities of the brahman and the kshatriya. The kshatriya does not refuse to give charity when requested by a brahmana, nor can he refuse to fight another Kshatriya. A king who does refuse such low is considered low-minded. But in the dynasty of Bali Maharaj, there was no such low-minded kings. Om Anjana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakai Chakshuran Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garaga Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktarinda Tvevasmi, na jivami tvaya vina, iti vigaya devi tvam, nayamam charanantikam. So, Bali Maharaj is continuing to receive glorification from the Lord. Vamanadev is glorifying his dynasty and glorifying his qualities. In one sense, it reminds me of the preaching technique that was taught by Prabodhananda Saraswati in the Chaitanya Chandradaya, one book that he wrote. And Prabhupada quotes him. He said, this is the ideal preaching technique, that the brahmana goes with a straw between his teeth. There's an explanation. He goes with a straw between his teeth, and he goes to an opulent or wealthy man, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and he starts to glorify the person. Oh, my dear sir, you are very intelligent. You are very respectable and opulent and good-mannered and cultured. And the person you're speaking to and glorifying, yes, that's me. And he's feeling very happy and satisfied with your glorification. And I'm very happy and fortunate to meet you, my dear sir. He says, yes. And then, but there's one thing I'd like to request. He says, yes, sure, surely. What is it? What do you want? He says, if you don't mind, and also he glorifies him, you're a very educated person, you're a very learned person, you're very wise, you know so many things, and you're very respected. If you don't mind, may I make one request? Yes, certainly. Sure, don't be shy. Speak up. My dear sir, please forget everything you've learned and surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. So, this is the technique of preaching that's also being displayed here by this little boy. This little boy is young Sankirtan devotee. Young Sankirtan devotee, Vamanadev. He was sent out as a young boy on a collection. The demigods sent him collecting because they had lost their wealth. So they were in a dire situation. So they said, well, let's send this boy out to the traffic lights and collect some money. Like you see the Rajasthanis, they put their little boys and girls at the traffic light. You know what we call traffic light. I don't know what you call it, but the street light. Red, green. Little boy comes up. And he's asking for some rupees. So you give him Mahar Prasad and like that, and he's happy. And yesterday we gave a half a loaf of some cake from Bhuvaneshwar temple. They make cake. So I was at the light and I gave the cake to one little girl. And she had a little entourage with her. And she had a half a cake. And I said, give it to everyone. And she had the cake and she started running with it. And her little brothers and sisters are running after egg. So here Vamanadev, he's coming to this big king, big wealthy man. He's saying, my dear sir, you're so intelligent, you're so famous, you're so glorious, you have such a wonderful dynasty, you have such a nice family. And he's just a little boy, and he has a very humble demeanor. But what's he leading up to? He's going to close the deal. He's going to close the deal. He's going to say, excuse me, if you don't mind, can I ask you for a little something? Oh, yes, sure, my little boy. What do you want? Such a darling, beautiful Brahmin. What do you want? Just 3 steps of land. Oh, my boy, I could give you a planet. I'm controlling the universe. I can give you a planet if you want. You can become Ishvara, a Graha Ishvara. No, just 3 steps of land. And then we know all about what happened then. So this is a beautiful scene being depicted here between Vamanadeva and his devotee, who is taking the role of a demon, Bali Maharaj. So we're brought up with the topic of charity. We're reminded of this concept of charity. And the qualities of a kachi are listed. And one of the activities of the Brahmins, of course, is mentioned yajan yajan, patan patan, dan pratigraha. Brahmanas, sannyasis, and brahmacharis, they are qualified recipients of charity. They can go and beg and receive charity from the grihasthas and other members of society for the benefit of others. And this activity of dan means that people give us donations, but then pratigraha, Brahmins also distribute their wealth. So people give us money, but we distribute it. We build a temple, or we distribute prasadam. And if people don't give money to Brahmins, brahmacharis, sannyasis, then their money spoils them. As the Vedic injunction explains that the natural tendency in grihastha life is selfishness. It's natural. It's not unusual. It is natural tendency in grihastha life for the husband and the father or the mother to be very selfish, to only care about my wife and my children and my house and my family. And they become very much anxious to make money. And they become attached by this money and contaminated by it. Lakshmi or money, not Lakshmi, but money. Lakshmi is not contaminated. Lakshmi is that wealth or that fortune or opulence used in the service of Narayan that is pure. But money is contaminated by Maya. So it brings with it, money brings with it selfishness, lust, greed, cheating, lying, falsity. These are all the brothers and sisters of money. So in the grihastha life, which means the majority of the world, 99% or maybe 99.9% of the world are grihasthas, married people. So they're victims of money. So it's a great blessing that the brahmacharis come and collect some donation, or the brahmanas come for the benefit of them. They become purified. And of course, as we heard about the qualities of the Kshatriya, in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, it mentions qualities of Kshatriyas and also the qualities of the Vaishyas. So it explains the qualities of the Kshatriyas as mentioned in this verse. One of the qualities is, of course, generosity, because they give charity and the welfare work that they do. But they're also, they have heroism, they're heroic, and they have leadership qualities. And there are other qualities I could read here. They have dynamic power, bodily strength, determination, tolerance, steadiness, generosity and great endeavor, and devotion to brahmanas. Devotion to brahmanas. And leadership. These are the natural qualities of the Kshatriya. This is Krishna's description of the Kshatriya given to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita. And then Krishna goes on to explain what are the qualities of the Vaishyas. Now we all know about the Vaishyas. We're born in Vaishya families, most of us. Some of us, of course, are Brahmins in the audience. And we're blessed by your association. We're fortunate to have Brahmins amongst us. So you see the qualities they have. They're Brahmin cum Kshatriyas. Brahmins acting as Kshatriyas. But they have so much good qualities. I don't know the other person so much, but I know these. So we're blessed by that, their presence. And you can see what a wonderful contribution they're all doing in their own way. And it's due to their sanskaras and their lakshana. So that's our good fortune. But most of us, or most everyone in Delhi, they're Agrawals. Agrawals and this wall and that wall, and They're all Vanyas and Vaishyas. So what are the natural qualities of the Vanyas and Vaishyas which you meet every day and you deal with every day? The Krishna describes very aptly. The Vaishyas, he describes them, they're Dana Nishta. They're Dana Nishta. They've come to the platform of Nishta. I don't mean Nishta in towards going towards Prema. We're yet to come to that platform of Nishta, Bhakti Nishta. We're Anishtita. There's Anishtita Bhakti and Stita Bhakti. We're Anishtita Bhakti. It's not steady. It's because of Anarthas. But they are Dana Nishta. They're very dedicated to giving charity. This is a real Vaishya. They're dedicated. They give to the Red Cross, and they give to the Hare Krishnas, and they give to the Baha'is, and they give to this one and Mother Teresa, and they give. Just like many of our life members, when we go to preach in America, I remember, we would say, oh, you know, please give us more money, as usual. They say, Swamiji, you don't understand. You're not the only people I give money to. You ISKCON people think that you're the only recipients of charity. But I give to the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and the YMCA and this thing and that thing and Mother Teresa and flood relief and save the whales and save the squirrels and so, you know, they give donations to so many places. So this is the nature. The true Vaishya is dedicated to giving charity. Then he has faith in Vedic civilization, freedom from hypocrisy, and he does seva to the brahmanas. Now what's the last quality? He's perpetually desiring. Perpetually means eternally, always, forever. He's perpetually desiring to accumulate more and more money. This is a natural characteristic of the Vaishya. He's perpetually desiring more, more, more. Aniyor, aniyor, aniyor. So maybe Giri Govardhan was the original Vaishya. Because in Govardhan Leela, Krishna manifested his form as Giridhari. Then he reached out his hands when the Vrijvasis were making their offerings in Anakut Mahotsav. He says, more, more, more. So the Vaishyas in Delhi and around the world, they're reaching out their hands into the material energy. More, more, more. Give me more money. So that's good. It's great. This is a natural characteristic. You should be like that. If you're a Vaishya, you should have these characteristics. Just as if you're a Brahmin, we're sitting here supposedly, we're Brahmanas. We have the thread, and we're aspiring for Brahmanas. It's a Brahminical society. Samodamastapashocham shantir arjum evacha gyanam vijnanam astikyam brahmasam brahmakarma sambhavacham. Tolerance, peacefulness, religiousness, purity, cleanliness, clean mind, clean heart. This was the backbone of ISKCON, should be Brahmanas. At any rate, this is the description of the Vaishyas. So this wealth will contaminate them. So we are not taking anything from anyone. We should never think. We as Brahmanas, as devotees, we are also performing Dan. And Krishna is described as Danavir. That's one of Krishna's names. Danavir means one who is virya. Virya. Danavir means chivalrous. Chivalrous or powerful or strong in giving charity, giving dan. And the example is that Krishna would, every day, Krishna would give out so much wealth in Dwarka, and his father was also, Nanda Maharaj, was giving out 13,000 cows every day to brahmanas with gold-studded hoofs and silver-plated horns and silk blankets. This is Danavir. And there's a famous personality in Vedic literature who's known as Danavir, is Mayur Advaja, something like peacock flag, something. He was a great king, and Krishna disguised himself as a brahmana. Krishna disguised himself as a brahmana, and he went to this king, and he said, please, I want you to give me half of your body. Give me half of your body. And I want your wife. And so Krishna came disguised as a brahmana, but this king was a great devotee. Of course, he's dedicated to serving the brahmanas, but he was also a great devotee. And he recognized that this is my lord, come as a brahmana. All right, I'll give him my body. I'll give him half my body. So he immediately ordered his wife and children. He said, Devi, get out a saw, start cutting my body. So he lay down on the table and he ordered his children and his wife, and they had to follow the father's order, the husband's order. So they took the sword and they started sawing to cut his body in half, to give half his body to Krishna. And then Krishna, he gave up that Brahmin form and he gave Sakshat Dharshan to that king. He said, this is not required. So he was famous as Dhanavir. as giving charity. So this is our duty, is that we're not, sometimes devotees, they feel that, you know, we're taking something from someone, you're beggars, you're taking. No, we're giving the grihastha community, we're giving the Vaishyas a chance to purify their wealth. Because, as I mentioned, association and the contact of money contaminates the consciousness with all demoniac qualities. Greed, hypocrisy, cheating, lying, secrecy, and all these qualities that go with money. And these will keep one bound in the material conception of life. And as I mentioned, it is a Vedic, it's explained in the Vedas that the characteristic of a grihastha is selfishness. They become so selfish they only care about their family. They don't care if the whole world goes to hell or their next door neighbor dies of starvation. As long as their wife is fat and happy and their kids are fat and happy, then that's great. They don't care. The person next door could be dying of starvation. This is how intense the selfishness becomes. So this is because of this. This is a natural propensity in grihastha life. So we're giving by accepting charity from grihasthas. The brahmacharis, or grihasthas, remember, the brahmanas, who are begging on behalf of the Lord, they're giving the whole world a chance to get purified and free from the bodily concept of life, and free from all these demoniac qualities which drive one further down the evolutionary scale, down to animal life. Now, animals are so selfish that they only care about, they're so much selfish that even when they have children, they eat their children. They're so much envious. And the snakes, when snakes have children, they eat their own children at birth. How much selfishness is in that family situation? So our work of collecting charity, we're not beggars, we're doing the greatest welfare work. Because we're giving charity. We're not actually collecting charity. A devotee should never think, I'm taking something or I'm collecting something. A devotee should always understand, I'm giving. Because we're also, because dan, we say dan pratigraha, these are the two functions of a brahmana. Dan pratigraha means accept charity and give charity. So basically, we're giving charity. What is the charity we're giving? We're giving Krishna consciousness. And we're giving an opportunity for people to engage in the service of the Lord, which will elevate their life, purify their consciousness, and give them an opportunity to realize God and attain the fullest happiness of unlimited life in the spiritual world. So who's doing greater welfare work than ourselves? That's why in the Bhagavatam, it's listed as one of the 28 qualities of a saintly person. We are supposed to develop these qualities of saintly persons. We are supposed to become saints and saintly people. We may be saints in the making, or we may be saintly already, but at least we should have these qualities. So there are 28 qualities listed there. So one of them is sarvapara upakara. Sarvapakara means that welfare work. We can say that the greatest welfare work, charity for all. That is a quality. A devotee is very charitable, and the charity that he does is he gives Krishna consciousness to others. And people are so appreciative and so thankful that they reciprocate by giving something that's valuable and usable, which is money. And money, when it comes to us, just like the Maya Sita, Ravana wanted to get the Sita, so Sita in his hands was Maya Sita, illusory Sita. He could never touch that Sita, never enjoy that fortune. It simply ruined him and destroyed him, even his desire to touch. But when Sita comes in our hands, or when fortune comes in our hands, it becomes Lakshmi. It's not Maya Sita, it's the real Sita, engaged in the service of Ram. And then that person who gives in that way becomes blessed, becomes fortunate. So all of the devotees, all the persons born in India, they are meant to be these type of persons, sarvapara upakara. That's why Mahaprabhu said, hey, listen, Bharata Bhumiti Hoyla Manasu Janmajara Janma Sartaka Kari Bharakara Upakara. Hey, you folks, you men and women, you're born here in India. Bharata Bhumiti Hoyla Manasu Janmajara. You're Manasu Janma. You have a human birth. You're human beings. And as Bharat, you've been born here, so you should do the greatest welfare work. Give the charity. Give this Krishna consciousness to everyone. So that is the purpose of our activities right now. We're very much in this mood. And I was thinking, of course, Rupa Goswami gives an interesting definition of dan, or charity. He says that real charity, or he says that Love of God can be attained. Love of God will be manifested within one. When a devotee becomes the giver of charity, and Krishna becomes the recipient of charity, then love of God will manifest within one. So this means that each of us should become a dana-vir. We must become a dana-vir. We must become chivalrous, become strong in giving charity. Because if we give charity, if Krishna is the recipient, in other words, now Krishna is collecting, if we become the givers, and Krishna becomes the recipient of our charity, then within us, love of God will manifest. So what is our gift of charity? What is our dan? What will we give? What can we give? What can you give the man who has everything? Krishna's Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He's Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Virayasya Samagrasya. He has Yashashriya. Thank you. Yashashriya, the same word is here, Yasha. What is it? Yasha Amalam. He says Yasha Amalam. He says Amala, pure fame, impeccable reputation, pure fame, spotless character. So Krishna has all these qualities and has all these bhagyas and opulences. He's Bhagavan. So what can we give him? How can we be the givers of charity and he be the recipient? How can we get this love of God? What can we give him? We can give him only one thing, our desire. We can give all our desires to Krishna. Krishna, I only desire what you want. I don't want all of my desires, I want to be melted in that pot. I want to put all my desires in one pot and melt them together. I want to be one with your desire. Whatever you want from me, that is what I want. So that, if we can give all of our desires to Krishna and Guru, then love of Godhead will manifest within us. So we must also become Danavir in that way. It's interesting because we're in this place. I thought of an interesting analogy, which is something to think about. In this place of Hastinapur, there was once a great general, a great king and general. And he wanted to perform a yajna. He wanted to do a sacrifice, a huge yajna. Why? The purpose of that yajna or sacrifice was to glorify the topmost personality in the whole creation. And in his mind and in his heart, he believed and he realized that the topmost personality in all creation is Sri Krishna Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this great king and this great military commander, this great Kshatriya, he wanted to glorify and engage in a huge yajna for the glorification of his Lord Krishna. So he ordered his brother. He said, you go out and collect wealth for the performance of this Rajasuya Yajna. Rajasuya Yajna. Very costly affair. Millions and millions of dollars for such a yajna. So much gold and so much is required. So his brother, he received the name Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya, winner of wealth. There's dan, and which is charity, then dan. Dana, dan means wealth. So he became the winner of wealth. So he was ordered by his commander, his military, the chief, the king, the prime minister, his brother, and he went out and collected wealth and did this huge yajna for the glorification of Krishna in Dwapara Yuga. So I was thinking that in Lord Chaitanya's time, he appointed different devotees and parishads to become military commanders. And he gave them the name Senapati. You're a Senapati. Nityananda Prabhu was a Senapati. Haridas Thakur is a Senapati. He gave them this title. You go out. He gave them the water. You're my commander. You spread Krishna consciousness in Bengal. You're my Senapati Bhakta. So then, we see that after Lord Chaitanya's time, many of his followers and his devotees have become Senapati Bhaktas. They've become powerful representatives of Lord Chaitanya's will to spread Krishna consciousness. They become powerful commanders. So, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes there's some predictions that were made by Lochandas Thakur, which is Tirubhatiti the other day. Lochandas Thakur made a famous prediction, which people probably heard about, but they didn't know it was from Lochandas Thakur. But he recorded it in Chaitanya Mangal, which is written at the same time as shortly after Chaitanya Bhagavat, within a few years, and before Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Lochandas Thakur, he predicted there, he said, in the future, a Senapati Bhakta, he will take Krishna consciousness and he will spread it all over the world. And he will bring devotees from all countries and lands to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He made this prediction. So many of us, we can't help but think that it was our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. He certainly seems to have fulfilled the prediction of Lochandas Thakur. Srila Prabhupada ki! So following in the wake of Srila Prabhupada, he has many, many great disciples who have taken up this order of Lord Chaitanya to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And they've also become Senapatis. They've also become Senapatis, commanders in Lord Chaitanya's army. So one such commander has come to this field, to this kshetra, to this dharmic kshetra. One commander has come to this dharmic kshetra, just like so many Senapatis assembled in Kurukshetra, north of here, for the battle 5,000 years ago. So many Karna and Arjuna and Bhima and Duryodhana and all, Dhritarashtra, all these big Senapatis, commanders. So one commander has come here to this field, this dharmic kshetra, and he has collected some people, and he's given an order. And says, now, you go out and collect wealth. Go out and collect wealth, because I want to do a jagya. I want to do a jagya to establish the worship of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. But to do this jagya, we want to perform jagya. What is the jagya we want to perform? Harinam Sankirtan. Right? Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam. Kalovana Stevana Stevana Stevaka Tiranyatam. So I want to perform this jagya every day in a big way, all over this place. So to do this jagya, to establish the worship of Ram, I want to bring Ram here and show the world that Ram is a worshipful Lord, and Krishna is a worshipful Lord, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu is a worshipful Lord. And you have to go and collect that wealth. So I was thinking that our Senapati, commander in this field, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, our God brother, he is a Senapati for this field, this dharmic kshetra. And you are all the Arjunas. You're all the Arjunas. He is the Yudhisthira. He is the commander, Yudhisthira. The king, the commander. He's given the order to Arjuna, just like Yudhisthira gave the order to Arjuna for the Rajasri of Jagya. So Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, has given the order to all of the Arjunas and Arjunis or whatever. But all the Arjunas, I think only the Arjunas are collecting. There's no that side. They're keeping the Arjunas on the battlefield, keeping them running. Keep running, Arjuna. Keep running. Aniyor, aniyor, aniyor. So the devotees are the Arjunas. So you're all Dhananjaya. So you're winners of wealth. You're collecting this wealth. And when we get this wealth, we will establish this temple. Because just like when Yudhisthira wanted to do the Rajasri Jagya in the same place in Delhi, he had to do so much preliminary work. He had to establish a Yagyashala. It took months to make that Yagyashala. It isn't something you do in one day. Just like Rajabhakti to make that Yagyakund for the Nisringa Yagyakund. It doesn't happen in 1 minute. It takes so much arrangement, this thing, that thing, and so much headaches, just for a little thing. But when the Rajasriya, there's 108 fires and so many things, it's a huge thing. It takes months to prepare. Everything has to be done in proper tithis and nakshatras, and this thing at that nakshatra, and then this installation, that installation, this direction, that direction. So you have to set up everything, and then you can do the jagya. So the same way, this building of the temple is the same as the establishing of the jagyashala and the whole jagyakund by Yudhisthira. We have to collect all the money. First, we have to build the temple. We have to make all the arrangements for guest house, temple, restaurant, everything, museum, all these things. Then the Lord comes. Just as Krishna came, he came to the assembly. And then once he was there in the assembly, then the worship began, the jagya began. So all we're doing, we're building this temple, which is a preliminary for the Sankirtan jagya, to worship Parthasarathi and Sri Ram. So this is a very nice analogy that came to us while we're thinking about the hard work that all of you are doing to bring about this jagya at this dharmakshetra. and following in the footsteps of valiant kings like Yudhisthira and Arjuna. That's very wonderful. Of course, we may tell a small story just to bring everything to a nice point. Because we're talking about dan, the word is there, dan, and charity. So we should always feel that we're doing the greatest welfare work, to giving Krishna. And we should give Krishna. If you're just trying to pull people's ears and pull people's arms, give money, then you're not giving Krishna. You preach, give Krishna consciousness, and money will come. Because preaching means, what does preaching mean? You have two things, you have filings and you have a magnet. You have iron filings. Iron filings and a magnet, they go together. As soon as they're close enough, they come together. But if the magnet is here and iron filings are here and the magnet's weak, it will not draw. But as soon as they get close together, the magnetic power will pull those filings and they'll stick on the magnet. You understand? So when so you have to understand, Lakshmi is always stuck on the chest of Narayan. She's resting on the chest of Narayan, and she sometimes does some charan seva. So they're together. Just like the iron magnet and the filings are together. They have a natural attraction. So when you speak Krishna Katha, you are speaking about Krishna. You are creating a field, an attractive field, a force field, just like the magnet. The magnet gives out a field. It's called the magnetic field. It gives out some energy. You can't see it. You can't see it. You just see some funny little thing like this. But there's some invisible forces called magnetic force or magnetic attraction. And you drop a few little pieces of iron there, and all of a sudden they start dancing across the table. Hey, what? Why did that happen? A little kid will think it's magic. Oh, magic. These things ran across the table without any reason. So that's just called magnetic attraction. So in the same way, when you preach Krishna consciousness, you set up spiritual field. You create a spiritual force field. They say the force, all these kind of warps, you know, Star Wars and everything. So you create a spiritual force field because Krishna is all attractive. Sankarshan. Krishna is all attractive and Krishna Katha is all attractive. So when you go and actually preach Krishna consciousness, you give Krishna to others. What happens is that you're glorifying Krishna, and of course Narayan is within Krishna. He's a Sarva Avatari. And you're also glorifying Narayan, so you're creating an attractive force. And what does Krishna Katha attract? Krishna Katha attracts Radharani. And what does Narayan Katha attract? Narayan Katha attracts Lakshmi. What do you want? And as soon as you start speaking about Narayan, Lakshmi's going to dance across the table. They're on one side of the table and you're on the other side of the table, just like the magnets on one side of the table and the iron filings dance across the table. So when you start glorifying Narayan in a pure way, without motivation, without ego, without greed, without envy, greed for, oh yeah, if I get a big donation, I get 10% for my babies. Forget the greed, forget the envy. In a selfless way, you get whatever you get, don't worry. But you preach Krishna Katha, you go with the mood of giving charity, which is Krishna. You go with the mood of helping people and giving them by preaching Krishna Katha, and that will create the force field in which Lakshmi will dance across the table, just boom, like a powerful magnet, she'll stick on you. Because the man, he's sitting on the other side of the table, he's holding the Lakshmi in his hand, and it's behind him. And you're speaking, oh please give me money, please give me money, please give me money. He's like, get out. Here's 100 rupees, get lost. Here's 1,000 rupees, get lost. When you go in and speak for an hour or two, Krishna Katha, what is the meaning of life? What is the difference between the body and the soul? And you start speaking, then he's, oh, all of a sudden that wall safe opens up and out comes 3 lakhs. Lakshmi in that form, personified in rupees, comes dancing across the table. Zhoop. Oh, what magic. Because Lakshmi wants to be with Narayan. Lakshmi wants to be with Narayan, no doubt. But you're not speaking about Narayan. So she'll stay with... She's crying. She's in the safe. She's in the wall safe. She's in the drawer. She's crying, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Help, help, help. But no, you're not going on Narayan's behalf. But when Sita was crying in Lanka, Ram heard her cries. He couldn't sleep at night. He couldn't sleep for a second. Every second. All he could hear, and he would turn on this side, Sita, Sita, turn this side, Sita. He would just hear his name, Ram, 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 Ram. His wife was calling. So he was attracted. So he went and he got Sita back. So when you go and you speak Krishna Katha, then Lakshmi, she'll run out of there. So there's one... So this is nice meditation. This is the formula of charity, Krishna consciousness. Giving Krishna consciousness. That's giving Narayan. You want Lakshmi? Okay. Then you speak about Narayan. And Lakshmi will come. Oh, they're speaking about Narayan. Oh, let me come out. Let me come in here. And she'll come dancing over to your side. And she'll say, and then she'll speak from within the heart. She'll tell Narayan in the heart of that baniya, that businessman, hey, give him a few lakhs of rupees. He's a good boy. He's a nice person. Help build that temple. And then the person says, yeah, I like what you're saying. It sounds good. I've always wanted to hear an explanation of the Bhagavad Gita. No one ever described to me that chapter like this or this verse like that. I'm very appreciative. What's your name? I want to get in touch with you. So he gives you 2 lakhs of rupees and he becomes your friend and becomes your shishya, your student. So once, Krishna, of course, his father, Nanda Maharaj, was famous as Dhanavira. Everyone in Braj, they knew that Krishna was the son of this wealthy man, Nanda Maharaj, Brajeshwara. He was the king of Braj. So one day, one Brahmana, Dan Pratigraha, one Brahmana came to, because Krishna, of course, his father, he was a Vaishya king. His father, Nanda Maharaj, was a Vaishya, but a king. Vaishya king. So he's a king. So this one Brahmana came to him and came to see Krishna. And Krishna was with Radharani and Sakis, and they were playing in Gevarvan. Gevarvan is a very beautiful secret forest of Barsana on the backside of Radhika's palace. It's very confidential, very dark forest, very thick trees there, and very nice place where Radha and Krishna can meet because the sun never goes there. It's so dense with foliage and vegetation. And Gevarvan means there's many caves there, many secret caves. So Radha and Krishna have many sweet pastimes in these different caves. So that Brahmana came there, and he said, oh, Krishna, Nanda Nandana, oh, Brajendra Nandana, and all these, Brajendra, you're the son of the king of Vrindavan, Brajendra Nandana. Please, I've got a problem. See, my wife, we have one daughter, and we have to marry my daughter. But we have to give some charity. We have to give some dowry. But we're very, very poor brahmanas here in Barsana. We don't have any money. And I've been trying to stall it and put off, and my daughter's growing, and my wife is, she's always nagging me. Go out and get some money. We have to marry our daughter. Hurry up, you fool. She's always nagging me and criticizing me. And you don't understand, you don't know my wife, but my wife, her tongue is as sharp as a barber's razor. Her tongue is as sharp as a barber's razor. You probably remember we gave one class and we said that a woman has 2 weapons. Remember? Jiva and Ashru. Jiva and Ashru. These are the 2 weapons of a woman, her astras, 3 astras. Like Krishna has his chakra and his chakra, chakra in his bow or whatever. So the woman has her jiva and her ashru. So first she tries the soft one, the ashru. If that doesn't work, then she takes out the sword, the dhara, jiva dhara. Jiva dhara? Dhara means sword? She takes out the sword of the tongue. Alright, here, take it. So this Brahmin is he was saying that my wife, she has a tongue as sharp as a razor. And she's just cutting me. But Krishna, please, you're Karuna, you're full of compassion, please have compassion. So Krishna, he's soft-hearted, and he's sitting with Radhika and Lalita Vishaka, all the Sakis, and the Brahmin is pleading him and begging him for some charity. And Krishna said, well, you know, gee, I'm just a young boy, and all my cows are over at Govardhan. I'm just kind of snuck away from my friends for a little while, just to be over here with the Sakis. But my cows are in Govardhan with Balaram. My older brother's watching all the cows, and all I could give you is a few cows, and they're not here with me. I mean, I have my banshi, but what kind of dowry is a bamboo flute? I can give you my flute, but and the Brahmin says, oh, come, don't you have anything? And he said, well, the only thing I have is, oh, yeah, take Radharani. You can have Radharani. I'll give you charity. I'll give you, you're a Brahmin. I can't say no. I can't refuse a Brahmin. So take Radharani. She's my pranadab. She's my pranavalava. She's the love of my, she's my most beloved. She's the, my dhanapran. She's the wealth of my life. Please, you take her. She's the most valuable thing to me. Here, you, and the Brahmin went, oh no! Krishna! The Brahmana, he was really, he was crying. He said, oh Krishna, Zari, you have one daughter to marry, now I have another one. Oh no, what is my wife going to do? And he said, you know, she's going to kill me if I come home with another daughter. So he starts crying. And then Radharani, she pulls on Krishna's arm. Sham, can't we do something for this Brahmin? I mean, look how he's crying. He's in a bitter situation. He's so anguished and bereaved. Can't we do something? So then Krishna thought, oh, all right, there's one thing. Bring one balance scale. You know, like in the, you know, we see it every day. So then they bought the scale and they put Radharani on one side. And he said, okay, well, because, you know, then you get, actually it wasn't Krishna, it was Radharani. No, it's Krishna. So Krishna said, okay, gopis, give all your bangles, all your emeralds, all your pearls, give everything you have, and put it on the other side, until it becomes even. So they took off their bangles and everything, and then just millions and millions of dollars worth of jewelry, pure gold, emeralds, rubies, diamonds, they put it on the other side, then it went, and became even with the weight of Radharani. Then they took all that, and the Brahmin had his cheddar, he went like that, and he filled his cheddar, and he just sees, oh, Haribo! And he ran home to his wife. So this Krishna became known as Danbihari. Danbihari ki jai! So that temple is there, next in Varsana, on the top of one of the hills there. One of the four faces of Brahma is holding Danbihari as his service. And you can take darshan of Danbihari anytime you go to Varsana. So this is a pastime of showing even Krishna is giving in charity. So he's giving everything to everyone, and everything to us at every moment. He's giving us his love at every moment. He's maintaining us, nourishing us. And all he's asking us to do is, go and give this to someone else. I'm giving you myself, I'm giving you Krishna, myself, so you'll go give me to others. That's all we have to do, and everything will be successful. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Have any questions or comments? Krishna explains, he said, that actually he explains one place in 11th canto. He says, the greatest charity is to give up aggression, danda. Danda nyas. Danda means aggression, violence. He said to give this up. Give up aggression towards others. This is paramdan. He said this is a supreme charity. Supreme form of charity is to give up aggression. So this means envy. Because envy takes a shape. Envy and hatred are the shadow and the form and the substance. One's the shadow and one's the form. So envy and hatred go together. So when you envy someone, it means you are aggressive towards them. You will speak aggressively or think aggressively. So basically, the greatest charity, the param dhanam, is to give up envy of others. And that is the process of Krishna consciousness. We are envious of Krishna, and we are envious of each other, and we're even envious of our own selves. So by becoming Krishna conscious, we give up this envy. So this is, Krishna explains in the 11th canto, this is the supreme form of charity, param dhan, param dhanam, dhana nyas, to give up aggression. Very interesting point to meditate on. So all of us are supposed to be given charity. Give your aggression in charity. Give it up. Renounce it. Give up all your aggression. Take all your aggression, put it in a bag, and renounce it. That's the charity we should do. In other words, all the envy, all the hatred of others, and then you become a dhanavir, a great virtuous person, a great winner of wealth. Dhananjaya, dhananvir. Prabhupada uses, he explains like this, to be, the question is, what does it mean to be envious of yourself? First of all, you have to know what the self is. The self is the soul, or the Atma. So to be envious of yourself means to perform aggression against yourself. Because I said envy means aggression. Envy means hatred. Envy means violence. So to do violence to the soul, what is violence to the soul? So to be envious to yourself means to engage yourself in materialistic activities. To engage your soul in maya. Because that causes you suffering. So that's violence to the soul. In other words, everyone, that's what Prabhupada uses the term spiritual suicide. Well, suicide is a violent act. Suicide is an aggressive act. It is aggression to yourself. Suicide means aggression, instead of hating you and killing you because I'm envious of you, I hate myself and kill myself. So by people's materialistic activities, by people's forgetfulness of Krishna, by people's sense gratification, they're doing aggression to themselves, to the soul. Because the soul's nature is ananda. It wants ananda. It wants full clarity and full cognizance and awareness and knowledge. But the activities people are engaged in, the materialistic activities, don't give ananda. They kill that ananda. They just give frustration and anxiety and suffering and hankering and lamenting. And they're confused and disturbed and they're not clear. They don't know who they are, what's going on. So this is all considered aggression or envy of oneself. Your question is, if we as preachers are associating with so much contamination, how do we remove this contamination from us? Is that what you're saying? Well, just like you go out and play all day. You go out in the field and you play in the mud and get all mud all over you. And then you come back and your mother says, "Oh, you're full of dirt, your clothes are dirty, you're full of mud. Go take a bath." So you take a bath and you become clean. So we take a bath. Nam snan. Nam snan. We take nam snan every day. And we come up clean. Oh, so nice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Ooh, ah, ha, ha, hoo, hoo. Not the brahmacharis. That's how the grihasthas take a bath. Brahmacharis take ice cold water. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna. Heart's going, woo. But the grihasthas turn on the geyser, you know, full blast, hot water. Ha, ha, woo, ha, 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 re. Hare! Hare Krishna! Maybe once they say Hare Krishna. But usually it's like, ah, ooh, ah. At any rate, you get, the idea is, you get clean. And according to Shastra, a devotee is supposed to, when he takes snan, he's supposed to chant Nam. If you live in a holy place like Vrindavan, and you go every day to Jamuna, which we did, we had the good fortune of 3 years bathing in Jamuna every day, when we lived in Prabhupada's Kuti, because he also did that when he lived there. It was convenient, so we went. And you're surrounded by devotees, ladies, men, everyone, and they all do chant the name when they take bath. Jai Radhagavindaki, Jai Sri Radhagavindaki, you go into this, you know, this is the proper way. You bathe their body and you bathe their soul. So we're doing the same thing. We're bathing in the Nam Snan. And all the you think the name, you have to be careful what you just said. Because you're saying that the contamination of preaching, contamination of meaning of Vishayi or Pushandi, or a Nashtik, is greater than the power of the holy name to clean me. If you chant once Hare Krishna purely, you're liberated, and you're a papavitam. You liberate everyone you contact. So we have the means to we just chant Hare Krishna every day, is nicely, and I preach for 6 years every day. I'm shaking hands with 300 meat eaters every day in the airport. Hand touching, you don't even have to touch their bodies. I had to touch their bodies. Touch their bodies. When you touch a person's body or they touch you, you take karma. 300, you know, imagine what those people were. You know, these businessmen in Los Angeles airport. I was all doing all businessmen. 300 a day. Excuse me, sir, 500, 600. And sell 100 books. Shake a hand. But every day I was chanting the holy name. And I didn't, you know, have nightmares of, you know, Las Vegas or something. Because the holy name is purifying. But this is Nam Snan. Chant sincere. You attend Mangal Arati, you purify the mind in the Brahma Muhurta hour, you sit in meditation on the Nam, you hear some Bhagavatam class, and you should feel like $1 million when you go out there. I felt, when I left every morning for the airport, I felt great. I felt totally pure. I didn't feel agitated, disturbed. I felt, okay, let me at him. I felt like, let me go. I was like, I felt like a tiger, you know, ready to, I was so enthused to the Sri Prabhupada's books. And preach. So you should be enthused to go preach. And collecting money is a bore. Collecting money just doesn't do anything. Ask any grihasa. You're working and collecting money. Is it exciting? Is it enlivening? Hell no. And I have to do it, that's all. So we have to, you know, go out and collect money. Collecting money is no fun. It's a drag. But preaching Krishna consciousness is fun. If you're a devotee. If you're a demon, then you don't like it. Then you should change your, position. But if you're a devotee, you'll like to preach because you're like Krishna. You want to glorify Krishna. And then if you're always with Krishna, they never touch you. If it's between you and the conditioned soul, if it's Krishna, and you, if you're just Krishna, 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 and they're going, Maya, Maya, Maya. They're little drops of Maya. They don't even touch you. You don't even get contaminated. The real question is, why are you getting contaminated? Their contamination is given, but you don't even feel it. You don't even catch it. Because you have this invisible shield of Krishna consciousness protecting you. Krishna says, I'm the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. My devotee never perishes. I'm protecting everyone. So he's protecting us from the influence of Maya. Prabhupada said it's an inoculation. You get an inoculation, an injection, then you don't get measles or smallpox or all these, whatever they call them nowadays, but whatever those diseases are, because you've got some serum injection in your blood and it counteracts the infection if it comes. So our inoculation is the morning program. The Naam is everything. If you can't come because you live far away and this and that, don't worry, you chant the holy name, you'll become pure. So I don't think we should beat the drum for this negative view. We shouldn't beat the drum for this, oh, you know, it's so contaminated. It is contaminated, you're right, it's very contaminating. And preaching is only for the strong. Preaching is for the strong. If you're not strong, then you shouldn't go out. I agree with that. But there's a way to get strong, and if you are going out, and you should keep your strength by the process of Krishna consciousness, chanting very nice rounds, sincere and attentive rounds. And somehow, if your guru, he recognizes that you're strong enough, then you have to accept, I feel weak, my guru says I'm strong. Then you must be strong. Take shelter of your guru's confidence in you, take shelter in your guru's order, and do your bhajan and go out and preach. And in many places in Prabhupada's books, it says that Lord Chaitanya guarantees that you'll never fall down if you dedicate your life to preaching. You'll have some close ones, close calls, but you'll never fall down from Krishna consciousness if you're a sincere devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He will personally protect you. And any preacher has had that experience. When you're 15, 16, 18 years preaching, you must ask... I know, you're asking a question. It's a good question, and it gave us a chance to speak something. I appreciate it. He's a vice president, so this is actually how questions are done. Questions are done because he's compassionate. He's thinking, well, let me ask the question for the benefit of others. And this is what charity means. As you see, charity means to act in a selfless way for the benefit of others. That is charity. That is real charity. To act in a selfless way for the benefit of others. So we're going out there for others' benefit. Oh, maybe we got something for our household maintenance. What the hell? So what? If the grihasthas here went out and got a job, they'd make all that money for themselves. It's not that anyone who comes in this movement, they go out and collect money, but they're giving a little bit for themselves, they're giving all to Krishna. So they're also acting in a selfless way. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, when you're in Krishna consciousness, you're empowered to collect. He's empowered to collect. I don't accept this. He may be empowered by Lord Chaitanya to preach Krishna consciousness, but collection, I may be empowered by Guru Kripa to collect, but a lot of times collection power is already in your hand. You already have a money line. So all of us are acting in a selfless way. This is the real meaning of charity, is to give to others. To try to give to others, that is the real meaning of charity. So all of us are very charitable. And the greatest charity is to give Krishna consciousness. And that's what Lord Chaitanya wanted. He wanted the Indian-born people to become gurus. Guru. And give Krishna consciousness to the world. So, preacher means guru. Naradamadar is a guru, Mohan is a guru, Mahamantra is a guru, Rochan is a guru, Yadukaleshwar is a guru. I don't know, I forget some of the other, stalwart collectors. You're all gurus. So Lord Chaitanya is happy with you. He's very happy with you. Because you're giving Krishna. And that's what he ordered it. He wanted it. You're born here and give Krishna. So this is charity. You're so charitable. So you think he won't protect you? You think he won't save you? You think he won't help you? You're pleasing him. You're satisfying him. So surely you're his man. He'll take care of you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. He's God. So don't be afraid. You won't fall down. If you sincerely chant 16 rounds every day, you'll get the strength to follow the principles. Then with that purity of following your principles and Guru Kripa, then you'll be strong. You may have close calls, like, whew! Well, that was a close one. But you'll never fall down. I used to go door to door, and we go all day, 5 days a week to the airport. And Saturday was slow at the airport, because people don't work on Saturday in America. They work Monday to Friday. So we go door to door to the apartment houses on Saturday, and people don't work on Saturday and Sunday. So you knock on the door in the apartments in Los Angeles. And, Los Angeles, the nickname of Los Angeles is Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles or Los Angeles? Los Angeles, yeah. Los Angeles or Los Angeles? I think Los Angeles. It's a better one. In other words, everything is loose. Really loose. Hung loose, hang loose, everything's loose. So you're there, you're a little brahmachari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You have your book bag with Bhagavatams, and you're not going to door. You ring the bell, and they open the door. Yeah, come on in. And you hear a voice says, yeah, come on in, it's open. Or the door is even open. So you walk in, you sit down, and some lady comes out from the inside the house, because you're in the house, you're in the apartment. And she has like practically nothing on. So, oh, yeah, good morning, how are you? I said, good morning. fine, how are you? What's wrong? You all right? Your face is like a little, okay, all right, well, okay. See, the thing is, this is a Bhagavatam, this, that, okay, you know, I'll take it. Like, yeah, okay, sure. And then she'll say, oh, just a minute, let me put on something. I said, yeah, that's a good idea. First they come out naked, and then they see, you know, they sit you down, and then they say, oh, let me put on something. I say, oh, gee, thanks. Yeah, thanks. Then they come out, and you tell this and that, and in 1 minute, you're out of there. Or you don't go in there to start with. There's some, but you know, you get caught. You don't know what's going to happen. They'll come in, and you come in, and you sit down. Yeah, just sit down. I'll be right there. Okay. Hare Krishna. So somehow, you know, Lord Chaitanya protects you. You see, and after that, doing that for 6 years, you've been tested many, many times and seen many, many things. And what you've really seen is Namo Mahavananyaya. I haven't seen that part. You've seen that part. You've seen the Krishna Prema Pradayate. You say Krishna Prema. I've only seen the Vananyaya. I've seen the mercy. You maybe have the Pradayate. He's given you the Prema, but I haven't received the Prema. But he's given some mercy to protect us. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.